think she is, bro.
She's
the newest wolf brother. Oh, there goes my earbud.
Look at those paws.
Yeah.
Thing is going to be a monster. Hi, Luna. You're live. The world can see you.
I know. She's so beautiful. Here we go. Hey, baby. So everybody's Luna. Luna, watch. Luna, sit.
Can you sit?
Sit. No, not right now. Can you sit?
No, you're embarrassed.
Sit. Yeah, good girl.
Oh,
the newest wolf brother slash sister.
Yes.
She's flipping cute, too.
All right. Let me see if I can actually go live for real. Oh, looking good. Looking
she's
good.
Flipping cute, too. All right.
Let me see if I can actually go live. There we go.
Yeah, I hear you.
Beautiful. Here, you're ready to go into the Matrix?
Yes. Oh, God. Wow.
No.
Jimmy, the blue pill. I want the blue pill.
You need to see, what's the movie? The two-minute time machine? Something like that. I don't know. I forget what it's called, but they have a TV that sees into the future. So...
But only 2 minutes. It's kind of fucked up.
It's better than... I bet you have a way better time machine.
No, I just mean I feel like it would be a frustrating version of a time machine. Like, oh, sweet, I'm going to die in 2 minutes? Well, great. I guess I'll just fucking sit here and fucking bend over and take it because I can't do shit about it. Because I'm down to 90 seconds now after that little diatribe.
Just running in and out of the room. I bet Peyton Manning throws a completion.
Yeah. Yeah, I started doing prop bets last second.
Oh, wait. Oh, holy crap. The views are expressed. I don't know what's happening to people. I had some problems. It was pooping out again. So I don't know why StreamYard, like this website's whole job is to record audio or play audio, capture audio, and put it out there. And every time I log into it, they're like, do you really want to use a microphone? Like,
Did you shrink our backgrounds all or something? Because you look huge now.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's better. Oh, yeah, because I didn't realize. Okay, yeah, that's better. Because I didn't realize. I thought this was just for us. I didn't realize until last time that this is also the exact format that everyone else has seen live. So I was trying to get rid of some of the letterboxing, but it's not worth it.
Oh, my gosh. She's so cute, dude. She's good nature. The store's such a bitch, dude.
This is going to be an amazing and frustrating conversation.
Really?
So we're rewatching everything to get ready for season three. But because, you know, we don't quite have 16 episodes to, you know, rewatch everything, we're using the fan edit. I'm talking to the audience right now. I'm talking to you people in the audience.
Yeah. First of all, thank the light.
May you always find peace and sugar daddies. So we're using the fan edit. Hopefully you guys have checked out Woke Fan Edit. It's amazing. It's a really, really good edit, but it's also a great way to condense this. So when we need to rewatch all of Wheel of Time, it's a great way to condense. So we watched the first half of the season one fan edit. So give or take, Justin, I don't know if you actually watched the episodes, but did we watch basically the first four episodes, or is it more like the first five episodes?
When you start getting to that point, I was like, you know, I think I stopped at like 2 hours and 15 or 16 minutes, like we talked about.
Yeah.
When you get towards that, you start getting into some stuff that's in episode like five, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, for the most part, it's one, right? You split it pretty good, like one through four, basically.
So. Yeah. So we'll watch next week. We'll watch the second half, basically the second four episodes of season one. And then hopefully we'll get the editor in here for at least one of the episodes. The next 2 weeks, we'll watch the first half of season two, second half of season two, or one or both of those. We'll get the editor in here on it, which I'm super excited about because, like, you know, it's like every other show, you know, I've seen, or like a movie series, like you've seen A New Hope 10,000 times. You've seen Empire Strikes Back 8,000 times. You've seen Return of the Jedi 6, you know, and so on and so forth. So, like, I've seen probably the last episode of season two once. Twice.
Yeah.
At least twice.
I don't think I watched. Yeah, we did like twice, but that's about it. So,
but I've seen this like 8 times now, 10 times.
Really?
Wait. Because I would eat, because every once in a while I want to rewatch it, and whether I'm watching or just having it on the background, I want to put it on. But I'm like, well, where should I start? Should I start at episode 5? I was like, fuck it, let's just start at the beginning. And then I get to episode 5, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'll watch it again for the podcast.
It's so bad.
So even like season 1, I see the first 4 episodes 10 times. I've seen the second 4 episodes 5 or 6 times. So, but this
actually,
was...
go ahead. Looking forward to watching. No, I'm sorry. I just shouldn't have interrupted you. Sorry.
I'm kind of just over explaining what we're doing. It's not that hard.
Yeah. After watching this, I'm really excited to watch the season 2 fan edit. I texted him about an hour and a half, and I go, "This is fucking canon to me now."
Yeah.
Because I first of all. Who are you going to be tonight? Have a good one. I'm being selfish. So.
I am going to be. I am going to be the husband who finally suckered his wife into watching The Wheel of Time Sedai.
And she didn't hate it.
She did not hate it.
I like my wife. She's like, I want to love it. I fucking get it.
Has she tried the fan edit or did she give up already?
No, I haven't even tried to make her. Do that yet. If she gets to a point where she wants to at some point, I think that's the way I'll go with it. But
Kelly has started episode 1 3 times and not gotten to it. And she
Lisa watched the whole first season with me, I believe.
Wow. Probably just because she didn't have anything else to do. You're in that small trailer.
Yeah, we were in the trailer. She was like, I guess I'm watching this thing.
Yes, we're doing this.
Yeah. I'm going to be your warm berry in Rand's pocket because the fan edit made me really happy because and you said it too, it makes okay, Jeremy, it doesn't make perfect sense. I'm not settled that everyone just hey, call everybody just calm down, okay? But it's so much I agree with you, it's more easily digestible, I feel, in like that movie format, you know? And the cuts he made are fucking I'm just not going to try to fucking suck his dick too much, but like the cuts he made are perfect. Everything that he cut out were things that I fucking hated. Like I didn't even realize that I hated them until I forgot that they existed until I turned the episode on. Like I was like an hour in and I'm like, when does Egwene get thrown in the river? And like it doesn't happen.
I might not suck his dick, but the editor has free hand jobs under the table for life. Like,
yeah, it's made it something that I really enjoyed the first 2 hours. I'm like, this is well done. Is it perfect? Of course not. He's not a magician. He's not magic. He's not Gandalf. He can't fix everything.
Yeah.
He cut it into a way that like made more sense. The things that he cut out were smart. And it gave it more continuity and it made a lot more sense the way, you know. It made a lot more sense of the stuff that he cut. I made a lot of notes. Obviously, I'm not going to go over all of them, but there were certain things, and I was just like, man, boom. I'm glad he cut those out. A lot of the first episode was the big cuts. He cut a lot of the first episode out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I kept thinking, like, yeah, I was like, oh, that's right. This is a great, because like right when it opened, I went, holy shit. And Kelly's like, what? I'm like, this is the cold open to like episode 5.
That was my first note. First of all, that scene, they did it right.
Oh,
second of all, fuck you, Rafe Judkins, for not making that the cold open to everything.
I mean,
it'll suck people in right away and you can get to the magic stuff later.
Like, why would your first change be the openings? Or is that scene in the books? It's been so fucking long since I've done. Why would your first change out the box be
episode 6?
I mean, I guess just like, I guess Rafe wanted to say right away, this ain't your mama's Wheel of Time. Again, it's your mom that's watching the Wheel of Time. Don't make this show for college students. They're not watching it. They don't fucking care.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I will say this fucking show that I watched, this fan edit that I watched the other night, Monday night, 2 hours and 60 minutes, is a fucking amazing show. It is an awesome show. It's a beautiful show. It's got a few differences. It's got Easter eggs. It's got like, I'm kind of surprised how much Jeremy hates it, just because like it's the editor. It's just a basket of Easter eggs. It's just a basket of Easter eggs. And I understand that when you watch the show on Prime, it's Easter eggs in a basket of shit. But it seems to be enough Easter eggs in there to to make a fan happy. And
well, and that's the thing. I think that some of the first years, hold on, I gotta let her out because she's crying. Come on, mama. Hey, good girl. You're pretty good for a puppet. And then Wolf Sisters board. It's like, I think that, you know, I the first season, Jeremy hated less, especially for the first couple of episodes, if I remember correctly. But a lot of the things that, like you said, the Easter eggs, a lot of them are so nuanced and like low key that unless you're a huge book nerd, I think he thought he was going to, he's like, oh, they're going to love this. I would have loved it if I didn't hate so many other things. Like, and like, I am way more optimistic about it than a lot of other people, but that's my jam. That's my thing. It's like, it was some of the things that I noticed in this, that I was able to notice in this because I wasn't going like, what is this? You know, they're walking along the road, the wolves are howling, and you know, the foreshadowing of all the wolves, the music is so good. The music is so very good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, you know, Ran has to, hear how his mom was drunk, but, you know, again, hey, we didn't know the relationship, right? We're not in it, but also, yeah. Wow, I don't know if we need to throw shade at Ran's mom, the dragon's mom, the first 5 minutes. And also, like, okay, one of the first things I saw, for example, Matt's, like, lack of luck, you know, in, like, one of the first scenes, like, unnecessary, 1,000%. There's something else that you could do to show Matt how he is. I know they're trying to like show him as like a very duplicitous character by how he takes care of his sisters, how he really doesn't want to take the money. He won't really doesn't want to take money from his friends, but he'll go rob some bitch he's making out with and sell her bracelet. You know, it's like, is he a good dude? He's being too clever to try to create characters. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's proud, but he's just being too clever with the things that he's doing for such a big story. And I don't, as one of the reasons I didn't, it was one of the first things I kind of was like, I don't love that, you know? And then how he cut out, the editor cut out all of the thing about how drunk his mom was. Like, he cut out a lot of that. So it makes it it's still bad, but it's much less like, just like, why are you doing this? You're spending 90 seconds to 2 minutes of screen time on something that just absolutely does not need to exist. There are so many things in the story that are so good that just don't need to exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
We make up stuff for the story to bridge gaps, and that's not something that was needed.
Yeah. Yeah, like if we're going on this long journey, we have plenty of time to figure out that Matt's a scoundrel. You don't need to.
Right. Yeah, he's a rogue, right? Exactly. You're gonna get it. But you know, Henrik, I said his lack of luck. It's like, oh, wait, do you see how lucky he's gonna get? Yeah, if you get to make those episodes, it's gonna be great, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it's not things that I hate. It's just kind of like, dude, you're too clever for your own good. Like, just stop it. Like, you know what I mean? And another thing about it, like, Moraine walking in, how she basically just announces that she's an Aes Sedai. Nope.
Yeah.
Fucking nope. They don't do that. They travel subtly. I mean, you could figure it out if you know something about the world, but they don't walk in and go, I'm an Aes Sedai of the Blue Alja. Why don't you give me a room? That doesn't fucking happen unless she has even if they have like a previous rapport with that innkeeper, they're under assumed names and they speak in code. And even though the innkeeper may or may not know what they are, they keep their fucking mouth shut. And they help them with whatever they're doing.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay, sorry. Just trying to figure out. I didn't want to interrupt you. Well,
and that's because in the books, are the Aes Sedai like dressing down when they travel? Like, how the fuck do the White Cloaks not know she's an Aes Sedai? And is that just a bad
show? They do kind of tend to wear a darker blue and a dark, dark blue cloak. And it's like, they'll hide their rings, stuff like that. Wear hoods up all the time so that you can't see their face really well. Or if there's a place where there is going to be white cloaks or something, that's why the warders are there. They're just another, you know, sellsword, man in armor, whatever. Even if he's a warder, who cares? All it means is that there may or may not be an Aes Sedai around, but she doesn't go walking through the streets just openly. Like, that doesn't happen very often. Later in the books, when they start traveling, you know, 5-10 deep, it's a little different. But at first, it's like you see the secrecy of the Aes Sedai, or, you know, secrecy is maybe not the right word, but, you know.
Not out in the open, or she's not wearing gang colors.
Right. We're doing dead drops. No, we're not doing that. Like another thing, like like I said, there's so many things that are good that you can't get to them because they, like I said, Rafe's cleverness kind of gets in the way of it. You know, the Fade is kind of walking to town on the horse. You hear the rain and the thunder, and then you hear Pot and Fane's whistle come through, and then he's coming into town the next morning. You know, you see great casting, how sinister he could be, the big teeth and everything. It's just, I felt like some of the cuts the editor made is like just really enhance things like that. And or maybe, like I said, move things out of the way so I wasn't going, Here's an example. Was watching the fourth season of TOC last night, and I don't know what episode it is, but Britt Rossino beats Darnell Ferguson, and that's the episode where it starts. But then there's like at least three or four episodes, maybe till the end of the season, there are some fucking dickheads who are whistling in between every round, and it makes me want to gouge my fucking eyes out every time I hear it. And it's between every round after the Darnell Ferguson, Britt Rossino battle. It happens like every battle after that. I'm like,
I can remember Kelly complaining about that. Like, I noticed it, but it doesn't bother me as much as it did Kelly. I think I remember.
It's just like that dickhead at the concert that does one whistle and just keeps doing it with his fingers. And I just want to punch him in the fucking throat.
Dude, the NFL, like, you guys have such a tight grip on your shield. How do you let assholes near the booth? Like, there needs to be a buffer zone of the woo-hooer right next to the open window booth. And it's just like, dude.
Because they pay for their ticket and they can cheer how they want to.
Jesus. Just get a boobazella right in.
God, I know. I'd rather have a fucking one of those mouth.
I forget. Like, I remember, like, the kissing, but I forget Brandon E. Gwynn just get this out right
away. Yeah. Like, you know, one time me and her got it on. No, you didn't. I mean, you can imagine. Yeah, they fucking fucked. Like, they got down. And then typical, like, teenage boy, Rand's just like, I got my feelings hurt. I'm going to leave early now. We're going to play Halo with my boys.
Oh, dude, jumping ahead. The funniest line in this whole series is when Rand says, when Rand's talking about chopping wood, you want to
hate her? You think her? She's up for it?
Yep.
I caught that too again, and I'm like, God damn it, that's funny.
Wow.
That is funny.
Oh, man.
And that's naughty. That's a naughty.
That is naughty.
Is Brent Raja around?
That's like borderline rapey. Like, you know, he's not going to force himself on her, but he's assuming this is going to happen.
Hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
That's true. Fucking Matt is a shot taker. That dude, he's a chucker. I mean, he's a fucking chucker. But some of those go in.
Yeah, he's a volume shooter, if you will. I mean, the Two Rivers can get down, right? They're dancing, they get down. I mean, Trollocs are still gross. Some things
don't. Trollocs are still gross.
I got my. I haven't had any coasters out since I moved,
and I fucking. After watching it on Monday night, I got a set of coasters out and they're sitting on my table.
Nice. Nice. A couple other things.
Man, I had a lot, folks. If you want them, hit me up. I'll send you a pack.
I'll send you a pack.
I'll even pay for postage. You just got to use them.
I feel like some of the cuts that the editor made, and I don't know if this is one, if he shortened it or did anything to it, but, you know, it was easy. It was, and I love Donald Finn so far as Matt, and I think he's going to be great. But Barney was good, man. Barney was good. I'd love to see, like, I heard he's going to be in some sort of horror thing, but I haven't really heard anything else. He has a pause when he's like freaking out, and the Trollocs just get there, and he's like, I'm fucking out. And he sees something, maybe one of the Trollocs is like eating somebody, or he sees a little kid. He sees something, and you see him pause, and the look on his face, just it's like fear. What am I gonna do to hero mode? And you could see it, and he's like, I gotta go find my sisters, I gotta go see what's up. And it's not even fight, it's just like, I got something to do, and you guys are gonna have to wait till later.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, what Rafe kind of hits you over the head with is for the first 10-15 minutes, you're like, oh, Matt's an asshole, like, he's gonna get everybody killed. But then you see him taking such care of his sisters. You're like, okay, all right. He's got heart where it counts. I think we'll be, you know, we're going to be, you know, we'll see what happens. Fucking the wife again. Just.
Yeah. I kind of got into that too. I was like, why did he make him kill his wife? It's so dumb. And thank you to the editor for cutting out so many shots of parents sitting there like,
yeah,
killed my wife that I never really had.
I mean, yeah, I guess if it comes back in season 3, season 4, maybe the editor will wish he had left a little more in to set it up. But like,
that was my biggest what the fuck quickly moment was like, what?
Thank you so much, Justin, for all the time we've spent on this podcast talking about the books. Because, like, it, you know, and especially having it pared down from the editor, like, there's so much in here that I was like, oh, just, you know, the way the
kind of already filling in the blanks out from book knowledge and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just little things that help
and stuff that, yeah, I didn't even know I missed the first time I watched it.
Right. Right.
Think that line would matter anyways. And maybe it doesn't in the overarching story, but it does in Rafe making whatever connections he can.
Right.
Yeah.
That was my first big, like, what the fuck moment. But then, and like, another thing, like, Moraine's, I think the editor did cut a little bit out, but Moraine's kind of channeling is a bit over theatrical at first. They're kind of hitting over the head that they're weaving something and stuff. But that was another one, like, visual medium. But, you know, then by the end, she just has a look and throws like a sword at a Trolloc and kills it. So it's like, how does this magic work exactly? And, you know, Robert Jordan wasn't, you know, he just made magic do what he wanted it to do. And that's okay. But in a visual medium, you have to have some sort of like continuity and rules, because it's like, this is magic unless something happens to change the magic at some point in the timeline, which does happen in the Wheel of Time several times. Men start channeling, Rand, you know, does something big. People are learning new talents from the Age of Legends and shit like that, just trying stuff that people have never tried. So that does, things change about it. So the magic, you know, mechanic definitely changes through the story, but you can't just do it that quickly. You have to spend at least a couple episodes kind of setting up, this is how it works. Otherwise, yeah, you just go, so what can you, so you definitely can't bring people back to life. I got that. Yes.
You can't heal yourself. That's a big one.
Yeah, you can't heal yourself, exactly.
I don't have a problem at all. One, because it's a visual medium. Two, I never got the sense from the books that Moraine is just standing there like a statue throwing weaves.
Definitely, you know? Not. There's some acting, you know, but Jedi.
Yeah, it's like, but she's not doing a force push. She's demolishing a house and throwing it.
Right, and there's the part where she starts banging her staff on the ground and causing, like, these rolling earthquakes. So it's those things. It depends on each sister, right?
Well, and it makes it that much cooler when we see the Fallen twitch a finger and kill some, like the... And like, as powerful as Moraine is, she's got to, like, it's going to take some energy for her to do something. Whereas as the we see the more powerful Aes Sedai.
Yeah, you see the Forsaken, they're like, you see Lanfear go like this and fucking, you know, throw them out of the ways. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. You get to see. And you know what? Maybe that's something that, you know, I'll give Wraith a benefit of the doubt. Maybe he tried to scale the power a little, because that was one of the things, the scaling of who's the most powerful is very loose, and kind of open to interpretation. So maybe he's trying to set a more power scale. I can hear Jeremy right now. He's like, no, he didn't plan that. No, it's just, no, that's dumb. You're welcome, Jeremy.
You hear me? I hope you're watching
that at yourself, bro.
I hope you're watching Time Crimes right now. Great movie.
Well, the Baron's so sad when he murdered her. So, like, are you, that's sad? You murdered her. You couldn't stop the axe? I'm just saying. Maybe he's, like, always nagging.
I mean,
don't go drink with Matt.
Like, I feel like Rafe and I always forget her name, but like the main woman they have on the script writing to, you know, the book historian. I feel like they maybe like showed the first episode to a bunch of people who didn't know the story just to see how it landed. And of course, they're like, I don't get it. So they're like, okay, well, let's do this. Like, why is Perrin so sullen? Like, like, you know, we don't have time to tell you about Perrin's upbringing and why he's such a stoic Chewbacca. So we're going to do this huge over the top theatrical thing just so that when he's stone,
yeah, we'll have 150 pages to show you that he's just kind of quiet and was scared of his own size, basically, and that he would hurt people because he never wanted to hurt people.
Which is like, I get it. If it's a movie, you got to move quick. You only got 2 hours tops. You got to move quick. Got to have trust, and you've got to have a full 8-episode arc plus an 8 season arc that we're going to get to it. And you don't have to listen to someone like, oh, get it. It's like, okay. And then just hit everyone over the head with a frying pan in the first episode to make them get it. You
know, what? I don't understand why all the girls have braids in their hair. It's like, okay.
Show a 10-second clip of him breaking a toy horse and then crying about it. And they're pairing. You're too strong. You just got to be careful.
Totally. Yeah. He could have broken a table at the inn.
Or crushed a, like you could show him arguing with someone and he crushes a tankard or something. He's like, I always had to be careful with my size. Something like that. And it's real simple. You don't have to make it all fucking.
You don't have to, invent a wife and
have it stab her in the fucking stomach.
And granted, there's not a lot of killing in this, especially, you know, in the beginning. You know, they kind of gloss over you. Well, most of the time the killing is they're killing Trollocs, you know, and they lose a few people. So, but you don't have to invent people to murder. Like, there's plenty of people to draw from. There's lots. I don't care if it's the funky innkeeper from the first fucking one that they went to. Keep it him. Let him kill him. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Make him the dark friend. Don't invent a character. Like, that is putting work, time, money, energy into something that you could be putting elsewhere. And those are things, like, I saw, like, that was the things that I really like. I saw so many things that I liked, right?
Yeah.
And there were things that it's like, damn, this could have been easily remedied.
So, and now, like, we're talking about all the shit that they hit us over the head with. And then there's the other stuff that after 2 seasons, it's still a mystery. Taviren, it's still like, the only reason I know what that is because of the books. Like, they kind of throw it around.
They give you a couple of sentences about Taviren and why they're important, at least in the first season, I think. Maybe there's more than that as we go, but that was all I've seen so far. It's like, maybe 2 small mentions.
And that's like, that's the whole fucking story.
I feel like they downplayed it because it's supposed to be Rand, Matt, and Perrin, not everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, they are kind of like lesser Taviren in their own way because they're so close and attached to those three. Anybody who gets that close to them is going to kind of be a part of it, but you can slide in and out of that too.
It is weird.
They can't just be like, oh, I'm not Taviren anymore. Like, until the pattern's done.
Yes.
You're stuck.
It is weird for a show that is so empowering for women, and women are so awesome in this world, and they have such a prominent role, to have 3 dudes be the ones coming through and saving the world. Like, the women are obviously helping, but they're helping. Like, Meneve and Egwene, in the books at least. So I can see why in the show he might, all the kids might be Taviren, and I'm
The further you go along, the more men and women work together, the better and more powerful you can be. So
yeah,
it becomes a thing too, because they start to link and make circles and that kind of stuff. So I love too, Moraine's like, yeah, we got to get out of here, and it's like, okay, you know, good luck, Two Rivers. I'm an Aes Sedai that could maybe help with this, but you know, I gotta see a man about a horse. I'm gonna take these kids. We're gonna bounce. That, you know, good luck to you though.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You guys seem great. Sorry we can't stay. You're on your own.
I healed Rand. I always forget that Rand's dad lived. Does he come back in any prominence?
Yeah. Cool. Very much so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. So he becomes a bigger part of like Perrin's story than Rand's, really. He has a couple moments with Rand.
Although,
because Perrin spends a lot of time back at the.
Yeah. And Perrin really leans on him as someone that he can like trust as like a. Kind of like a general / you know, men in arms type person to train people to fight. So
does Grant did a woman raise him, or was that the mom who put away all the wine?
She died when he was, you know, I think really young.
Okay.
Like, you know, he was just a kid. I think he has some memories of her, so you know, or before probably.
Okay.
I'd have to look that up. They don't really go into it a whole lot.
I don't know why that matters. It just seems...
He talks about barely remembering her and her smile and stuff like that. So I love one of the things that she says. She's like, the only hope, Moraine says, the only hope is to get to the White Tower. And it's like, well, that's kind of a lie, you know, but okay. Like I said, I had a lot of high hopes because they had some scenes in here. And the Taren Ferry scene was really good. And that was a pretty good, you know, like a powerful scene. Like, oh, shit. But, you know. Loose lips sink ships, and so do I.
And how Moraine can get around the rules to kill
people. He killed himself. He killed himself. He didn't have to jump in.
Yeah.
Just
we sank the boat. We didn't tell him to go after it. I mean, we didn't
see
it either. But.
Like I said, the ends justify the means, you know?
I mean, his family was definitely going to die either way because they're on the other side of the river with all the Trollocs. So
we
killed all of them, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's just some country folk. It's no big deal.
It's a war.
What?
UA.
They'll have more kids. How's a line from, I've been re-listening to Game of Thrones. He's like,
oh.
What? They're going to have more kids? It's like, Jesus.
It's the good old days.
I just want to know this. Karen has just a burst in season.
What do I have here? I think I kind of touched on all my notes already. Oh, I heard it. The one thing I will say against the editor is there's no downtime to go pee. Like, usually, especially if I'm rewatching a show, I don't want it to last.
That's true. Yeah, so I'll pause it.
I'll let it play while I run to the bathroom, but it's like, nope, we're going to just get right back. But not in a bad way, not in a, like, exhausting way. Because there is, if you're paying attention, like, when they go into Shadar Logoth, I could probably go to the bathroom real quick. But it's still, there's not, like, super downtime. But not, like I said, not in an exhausting way. God, I'm so excited to talk to him. I hope he's still up for it for season three. I hope.
I think he will be. He sounds like he's as forgiving as me and as big of a book nerd as me. So I think he'll be in it to win it for that. The edit really makes me stoked too. I really like it movie style. Some of the stuff he did with the White Cloaks, you know, he took out the kind of most freaky scene of him, you know, eating the bird and everything and burning her. But his little jingle and just the lower kind of, just kind of like cutting them down a little bit makes them more sinister to me.
I think we get to the bird one later. Isn't that after they capture Egwene and Perrin?
Maybe the beginning of the episode, perhaps. But I don't know. He cut some stuff down and like just Valda, the way he kind of jingles the rings and then they,
yeah,
he's just out. I don't know if he did it in that scene, but that's a good scene.
Yeah. Yeah. When he jingles those rings, just like
when he's like fucking like feeling on Moraine all week. Lan's like, I'm from the Borderlands. We know how to keep our fucking hands to ourselves lest we lose them.
Oh, God. I can't. He could murder all of those motherfuckers. Like,
yeah.
Moraine wouldn't even have to whip out her powers for Lan to take care of
them. Just like, I want to go take a nap, dude. You got this, right? He's not that badass, but, you know, he's not immortal, but he's pretty sick.
Yeah.
The Manitherin song always gets me. I don't think it's corny, but I fucking love that shit.
I had a glitch in mind. For some reason, my recording kept stopping in the middle of it. And then I restarted it and it kept stopping. I eventually got past it, but I listened to that song like four times. And I was not bummed about it because, yeah, I fucking love that.
It's so like awesome and haunting at the same time. Definitely like not, I mean, and like this doesn't mean that I want to not do it, but not listening to the books is actually helping me a little bit.
Oh, you haven't? Like you're just taking a break in general, or you're not listening to the early books that these pertain to, or are you reading instead?
No, like I was listening to Harry Potter for a while, and then like I said, I was just like, okay, I got to listen to something, and what do I want to listen to? And I started listening to Game of Thrones, and I just kind of like forgetting about it a little bit, and just kind of it helped me take it a little bit at face value a little bit better.
That's right. Because you listened to the last three or four books for the first time in like 10 years, didn't you? Recently?
No, I've listened to them all off and on over the last 10 years or read them.
Okay.
I just haven't been able, I would like to read them sometimes, but I just haven't because I don't have a quiet space to read or time.
Yeah.
But I can listen to books fucking all the time.
Yeah. Just throw an earbud in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't listened to any of the books in a while.
And like the Eredal stuff I thought was really cool. Like, you know, I didn't love it, but I thought they managed to make it like sufficiently like scary and like how you see the scale when they walk up to the size of the wall and then the crack in it. And that was something that I thought was really cool too.
Oh, do we ever see or hear anything in the books? Like, does anyone ever come back and like thank someone from the Two Rivers for lighting those candles so they could find their way home? Or is that totally just a ritual that no, like if there's anybody other than these like super, you know, than people like the fucking dragon, like is reincarnation ever more part of their known life? Or is it just something like us, like we believe in it, but we don't have any actual proof?
It's like heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like heaven and hell or whatever you want to think of. It's just like, it's It's just to reinforce the reincarnation theme, I think. Like, nobody really comes back from the dead. So maybe the heroes of the horn.
Yeah.
You do get some small, telling Riyadh, you know, if you are one of the heroes of the horn, you're there, but like not everybody can just be there. You just have to channel or something like that. So, not really in that sense, you know, nobody dead shows up. I was like, I wasn't really dead. So I just didn't know where the two rivers were anymore. Nothing like that. I know that's like breaking it down, like overly simple with your question, but
yeah. No, I don't know why I got it this moment, especially with Rand and his dad when they were lighting, because they just lit the one candle for the one person. So I was like, which is weird. Like, obviously they've lost, you know, Rand's grandpa passed away at some point, and aunts and uncles and all that shit. So it's like, how there isn't just a fucking, they just set the whole mountain ablaze with all the fucking.
Yeah.
The candle. Oh, here, let me show you the candle I light for my mom. So my wife's cousin got this for me, and she didn't know my mom, but apparently she knows what my mom smells like.
That's a good candle, actually, too.
For those just listening, it's a patchouli and tobacco, which is exactly what my mom smells like. She
was a hint of weed.
Doused herself in patchouli and smoked cigarettes constantly. And now she is right here.
Shit. What's up, Karen?
Well, that's kind of cool. I like how that green is.
That looks pretty rad. Yeah, it disappears on the green screen.
Yeah, it is. Whoa. I keep it right next to my dad's ashes so they can bicker all fucking day long.
Bet they're both just like, fuck you.
You don't have a whole lot. I'll let you go through your notes if you want, because I just want to say, everyone out there, I'm super excited. We've spent a lot of, unfortunately, we've had a lot of time to bitch about the show. And it's really easy to bitch about a show when they won't give you more show, because I'm just, you know, I'd be happy with a bad show, but if you don't give me any show, I'm mad at you. And so now that, like, we got season 3 coming, I'm starting season 1 over again. It's awesome. The editor did a great job of printing it down. Justin has been educating me with the books. So, like, all these Easter eggs meant something to me for the first time in a while. And, I'm super, my wife's watching it with me. So far, she's enjoying it. That's cool. Something else to share with her. Just hand jobs under the table all the way around. I can hear you. I'm going to take my headphones off for a second, but I'll be able to hear you.
I mean, by this time, I think I was getting a little tired and a little drunk. So most of my notes are kind of jokes. So just run through those really quick. Tom Maryland, the dude that plays Tom Maryland is great. His singing is awesome. I want at least another scene of him singing. I know he doesn't sing a ton, but man, it would be really cool. And I love how he just like stands up and Mike drops the lute. Like, nah, I'm out. You guys suck. When I said, I got one that says Perrin looking ashy as hell. I think that's when they come upon the Tinkers. And then I also have a note that says, if you think she's up for it, LOL. So we already talked about that. I have another note that says the Tinkers and also fuck Aram. And then the five dragons, also a big note with underlining and exclamation points. So, and Rand's conversation with Tom about his nephew is really good, but it's also kind of a throwaway conversation. You can miss it. I'm glad that the editor cut some of the noise out around it, so you can kind of focus on that, because it's an important conversation. He talks about thinking that this will be coming up. I think this kind of bleeds into the second part that we're going to talk. He talks about Matt. Tom says when he starts to travel, that Matt has all the signs, and he has a conversation with Rand about his nephew and everything. So,
Aram, with the Tinkers, did they allude to the story that we heard a couple chapters back in Shadow Rising about when the clan went to the other clan?
Yeah, they started talking about this song because they used to sing songs to grow things and things of that nature.
Right, but do they, like, they talk? I thought they told a little bit of a specific story about someone killing somebody that, you know, didn't deserve it, and that's why they kind of started living the way of the leaf. It seems a little early to be referencing that.
They were the original Aiel were all the way of the leaf. They were nonviolent, and as the breaking came along, it changed.
Right, but the
this, were they referencing that actual chapter or story that we just heard in Shadow Rising, where like someone kidnapped a mom and a daughter and they went to rescue them, and then the other clan went back for revenge?
Hey, that is a good catch. And yes, it's not the same story, but she alludes to a similar story about her daughter getting taken by men and raped and killed. And that is what happens to one of the first Aiels who kills, is they take his sister and his mother, I think.
Yep.
And they're raping him and they're hurting them. And then they go to rescue them, and he accidentally kills the guy, kind of just trying to defend himself. So
yep.
Yes, in a way, yes. And that's a really good catch, by the way, actually.
Yeah. I'm listening, folks.
Yeah, dude, that was a great catch, actually, because that's something I'm just like, why are they even telling this fucking story?
Yeah. I like Aram. I know you and Jeremy always fuck Aram. Is that his name?
Oh, you won't. Yeah, fuck Aram.
I hate that he's an asshole. He's such a...
It's not even an asshole, because the reason why you hate him is because he ends up flipping 180 and he is obsessed with fucking Perrin, but he's like a little fucking shitty little dog that you can't control, because he picks up a sword, spoiler alert, as a tinker, and is kicked out, and so becomes like Perrin's shadow, and he gets a little...
Callie was excited. His mom was the most recognizable person.
She's a pretty big actor, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Rand's dad is Roose fucking Boltland.
That's true.
He is the Lord of the Dreadfort. He likes to skin people alive. Can't trust him. And he talks shit about his dead wife. So.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, no, I was saying, like, mostly I felt like the most stuff that he cut was from the first episode. And after that, he cut some stuff down a little bit, but it was more of the shortening of scenes as opposed to just removing shit. And what he said to me is that he did a lot more in season two, moving stuff around and stuff. So I'm anxious to see how it goes and to watch the second half of the first season. Because
so excited. Yeah, because it's going to be two hours and 15 minutes again, and we're going to be at the big battle. I'm going to make Kelly watch Zane after that.
This is what it started as. This show is fucking amazing.
To be like, I want this show. Where's this show?
Every time I've ever watched that, all I can think of is him doing his monologue in Tombstone. St. Crispin's Day. It's like, that's all I can think of, because that's, he's like really channeling his like Shakespearean stuff. So,
dude, I sent you that gif yesterday, and that's because I was actively watching Zoolander. Like, I'm going through, I'm just like, tonight I watched Cable Guy. Like, I'm just always looking for not rated R shit that I can watch with Cormac, you know?
Yeah.
It's so funny. I always feel like all the comedies I like are PG or PG-13, but
no, definitely not. Yeah. A lot of the ones that you used to love so much, just like, almost can't even watch anymore because they don't hold up.
Yeah, try to watch it.
Go try to watch Old School right now.
Oh.
It's a little cringy, dude. A little cringy. It's still really funny in certain ways, but like, you're like, oof.
Yeah.
Yikes. Did Harvey Weinstein produce this? Oh, he did? Oh.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, well, there you go.
What? Do you know what? You can't even find Revenge of the Nerds anymore. Like, they've full-on canceled Revenge of the Nerds. Like,
really?
It's, yeah, because of the...
What about Porky? Is Jeremy weighing on this?
No, because Porky's, there's no rape. It's gross, but it's not... In Revenge of the Nerds, when he puts on the Darth Vader mask and has sex with that woman against her knowledge.
Wow, it's good.
Hey, everybody, that's rape. It's not a cute
not
way.
Okay.
It's not a cute way to get a girl.
The Game of Thrones is just fine, because there was no Darth Vader mask involved.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that was a real dark turn. And that's why it's okay to be the woke of time. I'm okay with watching the 2024 version. consensual sex between 16-year-olds is all good.
Is it?
Isn't that how old they're supposed to? I mean, I know in the show they're actually 18 or 19, but in the book they're like, but in the book they don't have sex, so it doesn't matter.
It's called acting, Desmond. They're playing people who are underage. Okay.
That's what my wife has been doing. She's been pretending.
Yes. Correct, sir. There's, you know what? You just said, God damn it, you just said two movies and I already ADD'd out on them. What did you say? You said Cable Guy, but what did you say before that?
Zoolander.
So it's funny because my coworkers today had a cough. I got the black lung pop. I was like, what's that from? Like, Zoolander. I'm like, oh, God. But also, Cable Guy made me think, and I don't even know if you lived with us yet.
Oh.
Do you remember the Cable Guy?
That's all I can, and it's one of the reasons I can't watch that movie, because we had the Cable Guy.
That guy was, and he was like, where are the bitches? I'm like, bro, you're like 35 and married, and we're like 21. What is happening?
It was so funny because he was aware of the Cable Guy trope, but then he also was the Cable Guy trope.
It's like he was so that I was like, is he just doing this to fuck with us?
No.
Like, and then I was like, no, this dude's weird. And I'm like, hey, bro, you can't just come over here. And
he would like be doing rounds because he had he did a lot of work in our area. And anytime he got within a mile of our house, he'd just be like,
you want to go smoke? And I'm like, bro, I have to go to work. I can just say, no, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, I know, you tried to be nice. Yeah, he was one of those guys that just couldn't take a hint. And he was like, bro, no. Because, yeah, he'd be like insistent. He'd be like, he'd knock on the front door and we just like go quiet. And then he'd
fuck him and peep in the window and knock. I'm like, what's this, dude?
You're an adult. Go adult somewhere else.
Yeah, just go drink alone in a bar like normal adults that hate their life.
So what do you do on Super Bowl Sunday? Do you work?
Yeah.
You probably sell a lot of fucking weed on Super Bowl Sunday, or probably Saturday.
I would think so. I'm off by like, I'll be off by like right before the game starts. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, was I there during some game recently? And like, I wasn't thinking about it. I was just like, I want to get some weed. And it was just, they're like, oh yeah, we're like out of everything or something like that. It's the fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tomorrow, bro.
Yeah, honestly, you probably went there when there was one of when it was in Frisco or something. You're like, why is there so many people?
Yeah,
or the normal.
Totally.
So funny. I think that's all I got, bro. But I'm trying to get hyped about it. My life has been so busy. I'm like, fuck, I gotta watch that.
Yeah,
I'm excited to do it live. So
yeah, and I don't know how. Again, people, I know we were psyched about maybe doing live watches. I just, with three episodes dropping that first week, we just can't do a 4-hour live. I mean, I guess we could, but if we can figure out in advance the exact time they'll be available. Because that's the problem, is that first week, it's like, is it midnight GMT or is it?
It's been coming out at 10.
9 o'clock. 10 a.m.?
No, it's been like 10 in the evening or like 9 in the
evening. No, because we were watching them like early. Like we were
watching them at like 7, dude, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I think we could have watched them earlier, but we wait till we got off work and then watched them. So I think that first week, I think we'll figure out when they're going to drop. I think we're going to have to watch them. And I mean, I guess it's going to be a long episode anyways. There's no way we're only going to talk for an hour after a 3-episode drop.
And then how do you, you know, unless they wait another 3 weeks to drop the first one, how are you going to get them done in 3 weeks and then be ready for the live ones? It's going to be pretty hard.
Oh, no, no. No, the live ones will be. Oh, I see. Well, no, because we'll definitely talk about all three episodes that first week. I just don't think we're going to do a live watch that first week.
Right.
Like, I think if just because, like I said, that would end up being a 4-hour podcast, which I mean, my biggest problem is that I know
I ain't having to cram all three of them into one. I'd rather do an hour on each. But how do you do it? You
know? Well, and we'll do it. It's the second we're done. We'll do a quick full recap and then we'll go right into our rewatch. And then
we can do Thursday and then like I'm usually off Friday and Saturday. So we could like record for an hour each of those days and just drop them and then we're ready for next week. But I don't know if you can pull that off. So
I want to get them done. I want to talk about them right away. That's my biggest hope for this show. Like no one gives a shit about our show. But if we're like one of the first people, if people are like,
I'm going to plan for the first night to be 2 hours. I think we should.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for 90 minutes minimum. And if we're rolling after 90 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
With the two of us, we might be able to pull it off in 90 minutes. But if Jeremy actually comes, then it's going to be 2 hours.
No, that first episode, I'm fine going way over because we're going to have 3 hours of content to talk about. So keeping it. That's fine. I'm just talking about, and then maybe, like I said, once we know exactly what time they're going to drop, then maybe for episode 4, we talk about maybe doing a live watch. If the timing works out, and
even if it's like not right when it comes out, like we watch it, like reacting it to it real time, that would be fun.
Yeah. Either way, I want to do it quick. We'll find out when they air. We'll find out is what when the earliest convenience we can do it, which is probably about 8 o'clock.
It's time for bed.
He doesn't like what you're saying. Alex said it's time for bed.
That might be mine, because I definitely have no, it's not.
It was mine. It's sitting right in front of me. It's sitting right up there. I just watched it go like this.
Okay. All right. Well, it is time for bed. I love you guys out there. Oh, next week, we're going to be on Wednesday night.
I remember. Yeah, next week, Wednesday night.
Because, and telling the fans out there, next week, Wednesday night, 8 p.m., Lola's coming. I might do an interview with her. I won't do, I'll just sit in the studio and talk with her and just send it out as soon as I can. She's my my show watcher who's never read the book.
Yeah, the show watcher. No, that'd be good.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. So we'll see you next Wednesday. See you all next Wednesday. Watch the fan edit. Come talk with us about us. How excited are you about season one? And how excited are you?
The season three is coming. Let's just say that I'm up for it. And
fuck yeah.
You always find water and shade. I said hi, brother.
I will. Peace, favor, your sword.
Love you, brother.
Love you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.